Hello all and welcome back. Thank you so much everyone, as always, for continuing to get in touch and sharing your thoughts and opinions. It's massively appreciated and you're instrumental in making these episodes on a weekly basis, so I can't thank you enough. If you have a longer story made with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Otherwise, please do continue to share all opinions in the comments section below. Let's begin. Electric motorcycles. How far have we really progressed? This is actually from my parents. They sent this over from the Telegraph. There's a motorcycle that's coming up for auction. It's a 1922 Douglas. And listen to this, that was converted in 1942 to an electric motorcycle by Mr. Piddock of Peterborough, as petrol was hard to come by in the war. It's as my dad always says, necessity is the mother of all invention. So if you really have to do something, if petrol is incredibly difficult to come by during the war period, what do you do? Well, if you're inventive and ingenious enough, you build yourself your very own electric motorcycle. So this is just one man in his shed, and he built an electric bike that, it states here on the auctioneer's website, can ride at 9 miles a penny. This is what it was quoted as when it first came out. 18 miles an hour top speed. And they state here, was capable, this is not scientific, so apologies, capable when fully charged of running all day. That, bearing in mind this is about 80 years ago or so, this is a man in his shed who managed to build an electric motorcycle that could get up to speeds of 18 miles an hour and run all day, 80 years ago. It's incredible. Take a listen to this then. Progress in action. This is from Howard. Freddie, if it's just the electric aspect of motorcycling that you're after, then the Ninja E1 is available at my local dealer. For £3,349, that's been reduced from £8,300. Again, I'm so sorry for my continued ignorance on these Kawasaki hybrid and electric motorbikes. Again, this is another one I honestly had no idea existed. Yes, tell me that I know nothing about bikes. That's totally fine. So, I've done some research and now I've swatted up on this. Back in 2024, Kawasaki launched two fully electric motorcycles. One was the E1 and the other one was the ZE1. In essence, the same bike, but the E1 is a fared sports bike and the ZE1 is the naked bike. These have about the equivalent in horsepower terms of 12 horsepower and they both weigh around about 135 kilos. So the horsepower's not much, but that is a very impressive weight if I'm just being completely level-headed and not hating on electric bikes at all. That looks really impressive. That probably is going to be fun and a good city bike. MCN say this. It does have a few nice touches, however, such as boost button, which offers, again, this boost button, 15 seconds of full power and 61 mile an hour performance, which then takes 75 seconds to recharge off the battery. I don't get this. What is the point in a boost function of 15 seconds if it takes 75 seconds to recharge off the battery? I just don't get it. Continuing, although the ZE1 has a claimed range of 45 miles, this would have to be done at gentle speeds in eco mode. I'll just stop and analyze that. 45 mile claimed range, so we have to assume the claimed range is going to be significantly less because it always is. Let's say for sake of argument, the range is about 37 miles. 37 miles. It's just mind-blowingly appalling. We've almost come no distance at all then from the man in his shed 80 years ago to here. We've maybe got an extra range of about 20 miles. Just continuing with MCN. To charge from around 20 to 85%, so that's 65% charge, it will take about an hour and a half. So 1.5 hours to get a 65% charge. Let's say you can get 37 miles out of a fully charged battery. So 65% is around about 21, 22 miles. So it's an hour and a half of charging to get 22 miles worth of range. If you want to fully charge it, that's 37 miles worth of range. I almost can't believe these figures. It would take 4 hours. I'm so sorry if some of these figures are wrong, but this is from MCN after their test. It almost seems impossibly bad, the figures. So the ZE1 is £7,300 on Kawasaki's website. There it is. I mean, it looks okay. And it's now been reduced. This is on Kawasaki's website, bear in mind. It's been reduced to £3,999. If you go onto Auto Trader, you can pick up a brand new Kawasaki, brand new ZE1, for £2,995. That's just a ridiculously massive over half price saving on brand new Kawasaki ZE1s. And the list is endless on what you can get. Clearly, of course, absolutely no one is buying those bikes. I do not understand those figures at all. It makes no sense. We've come nowhere with electric motorcycles, clearly, if this is what we're going off. Rant over, I promise I won't make it all about electric bikes, and I completely welcome if someone says I'm just anti-EV. In my personal opinion, I'm honestly not, but I will read out anyone who's got something to say pro-EV and thinks that I'm being unfair. So please do share your opinions. Let's move on to Lensman. And Freddie, I believe Royal Enfield have just released a Himalayan 440 based on the old Himi, but currently only on sale in India. Lensman, this is so exciting. I tell you what I did. I actually maybe went off on a tangent here because I found out after you gave me a heads up there that Royal Enfield actually are bringing out a 440 Scram. So not the Scram 411, the Scram 440. This caught my eyes even more. And the great thing is, if you take a look at that, yes, only available in India at the moment, but this looks almost exactly the same as the Generation 1, and I'm saying that in a good way. I love everything about that. But if it's just got a tiny bit extra power, a very slightly more refined engine, I don't want revolution, I just want a little bit of evolution, and this looks like it will be an excellent addition to the Royal Enfield lineup. That will definitely come to Europe and further afield. There's no reason why it wouldn't, and I cannot wait for that because I just look so fondly at that original Scram 411. Lensman, thanks for bringing that to my attention. On now to Mutt off into the sunset. From Robert, Freddie, I see Mutt bikes are in receivership. Ah, Robert. TheBusinessDesk.com says this. A Birmingham-based motorcycle manufacturer has closed its doors due to falling demand, costing all jobs. The business has now ceased trading with all 18 employees made redundant. Administrators told TheBusinessDesk.com the company experienced a period of difficult trading due to a decline in market demand. As a result, the business faced significant financial pressures and was unable to secure the necessary funding to continue operating. So I don't think they're even looking anymore for financial backers to save the company. That's it. The company is over. That for me is, it's a massive shame because I went to meet Mutt, and their passion and their ability to market bikes and a brand I thought was extremely good. They also opened up this very, very cool headquarters in Birmingham. Everything really dark, almost Balinese custom style vibes. They did a really, really good job of building a community up there. I think one of the problems, unfortunately, I did hear a few people saying that the longevity of the bikes wasn't incredible. There are a few electrical issues after a few years for some customers, but I really like the bikes. I tested one for a while and it was a lot of fun. So that's a real shame to see them go because there'll have been a huge amount of people who got into motorcycling specifically because of Mutt bikes. They made cool, accessible motorcycles for people who didn't want to immediately go out to get the big test and spend a lot of money. So that's a real, real shame. Exquisite now. Just got more exquisite. Last week, this is from Tor, all the way over Norway. Freddie, last week you expressed your love for the Honda CB1100. With that in mind, take a look at this one that's for sale in Norway, or that was for sale in Norway. The ad's expired, so I don't know if it was sold, but this is a gorgeous bike. So there it is. Initially, I wasn't 100% sure what this was. Clearly a Honda CB1100, but this has got stuff done to it that I can't quite put my finger on. It's got an almost old school vibe to it. So carrying on with Tor, this bike has a kit. If anyone likes these bikes, remember this, because this is a total game changer. It's got a kit from Samurai Rider in Japan fitted to it. So it gets a really cool old school look of the 1970s Honda CB754. And then I went onto the websites that Tor sent me. Make your new CB1100 look like a classic CB750 with the kit from White House. These are breathtakingly good looking bikes. Look at that front cowl around the headlamp. There are so many little subtle things I almost can't tell. This is where you'll buy the kit, and this is what it consists of. So this is from samurider.com. This is a Japanese-made kit, and the quality looks sensational. Look at that. It's one of the best-looking bikes I have ever seen. What you get to make your CB1100 look like this is a fuel tank and side covers. I mean, this is a huge amount of stuff they will send you. Made in Japan, fuel tank and side covers, chrome front fender, headlight brackets, headlight cover, OEM seat can be used, cutting about 10 to 20 mil off, so you do something to the seat, turn signals, fork bellows, tail light, and that fits 2017 to 2021 Honda CB1100 EX. Includes English instructions, includes a 2-year quality guarantee. You can also buy a few extra bits like some different tank badges, but that's White House in Japan. It's 600,000 yen, which I believe is around about £3,000. So it's not cheap, but when you consider how much stuff you get, I'm speechless. I'm so impressed. Oh, I love it, Tor. Thank you so much for bringing that to me, my attention. If anyone's got one of those kits and have fitted it themselves, ordered it from Japan, brought it over to Australia, US, Europe, let me know. I'd love to know your story with that, because that transforms an already stunning looking bike into a worldie. Tor, thank you. And now on to Luke. Freddie, I thought I'd share with you and your viewers details of a toy bargain Suzuki. It's a 2004 Suzuki SV650 pictured here, which was picked up absurdly cheap, £100. This bike had been in storage since 2007 and the owner just wanted rid of it. It needed a bit of fettling, as it still had 2007 fuel in the tank, and the front brake calipers were dangling by the hoses. A new fuel pump and a brake service later, about £250, and it was up and running and back on the road, and it hasn't missed a beat since. There are some bargains to be found out there, as long as you don't mind doing a bit of spannering. Luke, that, in fact, you haven't even got the older model Suzuki. That's even the facelifted SV650, so that is even more impressive. I want to see if I can do something here, Luke, because I'm so impressed and inspired with this. I want to see if I can find my very own bargain basement Suzuki SV650. I don't care if it's the first generation, the second generation. Can I, Luke, try and match your purchase? This is why SV650s are so good. I'm going to look for a bike here that doesn't have to be in running order. I could get a project here, and the reason being, SV650s sold in such huge numbers were so popular that spares availability is going to be gigantic. Plus the fact the bike itself is so ridiculously simple and basic. There is nothing really complicated to go wrong on it. So these are excellent project bikes to work on yourself. And I understand that when I'm saying that, it even sounds stupid me saying it, because I've never managed to do anything good mechanically in my life. So you have to bear with me on that one. I'm kind of speaking as if I were a semi-competent mechanic, so bear with me on that. But these bikes are excellent for spannering on. Look at what I found. 2000 model Suzuki SV650. £350. Luke, I'm not a million miles off you here. Listed 14 days ago. Non-runner. Brilliant. Great. There's a project. They've misplaced the logbook. Okay, not great, but it's worth a risk at that price. No MOT, so it's got no annual mechanical pass, right? Okay, that's fine. Project needs a new ECU and front fork seals as far as we are aware. I will take £350 if gone ASAP or swap for another bike. Block capitals. No, you can't ride it away. It's barn fine condition, so don't expect everything else to be mint. Great, so clearly the seller's had a lot of people messing him about. Don't mess him about, otherwise you'll get an earful. I really like these. It's got an almost Ducati Monster vibe to it with that trellis style frame. Actually, very classic looking looks. There are a few details on the bike. You know, it's going to be legit, this bike, I think, once you get a logbook. Worst case scenario, even if there's something wrong with the engine, even a replacement engine, I'm sure won't be much. Second-hand ECU, buy a second-hand ECU or send off your ECU to an ECU specialist to get it sorted out. That is a brilliant, fun base project bike that's not going to break the bank, I'm sure. Luke, thank you for the inspiration, and maybe I've inspired someone with that £350 run. Moving on to scramblers in the Austrian Alps. Here, Freddie, is my 1975 Suzuki T500 Street Scrambler. I bought it 10 years ago from a very large pile of Suzuki 500 spares. The stainless steel upswept expansion chambers are my own design and manufacture, and there are many other subtle custom parts on the bike. I also currently have a Honda CL350 from 1972 and imported from Colorado when I lived in Southeast Kent, UK. These bikes now live with me in the southern Austrian Alps in biking heaven. Tim's also got a YouTube channel with a few videos here. Tim, the thought of these bikes whizzing around the Austrian Alps, that looks like it's just stuck in time, that picture. These pictures, especially with that red Honda, could be straight out of the 1970s. I've had a look. If you want one of these Hondas, you can get one for about £2,000 to £4,000. Stunning looking things, really beautiful. Tim, love it, thank you. And moving on, bike of the week. I've got three bikes here of the week. H&H are auctioning over 200 bikes at the National Motorcycle Museum on the 26th of March. This is coming in from Colin. Freddie, it's free to attend and they'll give you a catalogue. Viewing will be busier on the actual auction day on Wednesday the 26th. But it's likely to be a great atmosphere. The auctions can be exciting to watch. Just don't register to bid beforehand, as you may get sucked into bidding for a wonderful bike. Okay, Colin, I've taken a bit of your inspiration and one of mine as well. Three picks here, all for bikes of the week. Let's start off with this one. Bearing in mind, this is in, as I'm filming this, 8 days' time. Triumph Bonneville, 1982. Royal Wedding Special Edition. And I know, I can hear many people saying that special edition nonsense, but bear with me here. This is one of just 125 Triumph Bonnevilles made to commemorate the wedding of Charles and Diana. I mean, it's got something about it, doesn't it? Lovely chrome tank, little bit of history there. And that will go for an estimate £4,500 to £5,500. It's not much money for a fun little bit of history. Next up, another Triumph. This is a nice one. Triumph Daytona 1200. It's the huge beast, this one. This has had £2,000 spent on recommissioning just a year ago. And the estimate for this is £2,200 to £2,800. You know, these do not go for much money. And this is a really rare bike. That's an interesting shout. It's Triumph's 150 horsepower Sports Tourer. I'll just read a bit about this on the advert. Triumph is the largest surviving British motorcycle manufacturer. It hasn't been an easy path for the manufacturer. The British bike industry began to collapse in the 1970s and 1980s. John Blore saved the company. The 1200 Daytona in the rare light blue colour scheme has been part of a private collection for the last few years, and in May last year was given an extensive professional recommissioning, including fuel tank, yada, yada, yada. Early Hinckleys are now becoming quite collectible whilst being good and affordable bikes for pleasurable use. I like that. Final one. We'll wrap it up here with this MV Agusta F4. SPR. This is one of Colin's top picks here. So Colin, I'm giving you this one. This is yours. 2003, MV Agusta, no reserve. So this will sell for what it sells for. Brand new and unregistered. Brand new and unregistered for 2003 bike. Don't know how that's 22 years old. It still looks ridiculously good. So this has never been registered since new. It's a limited edition F4 SPR. What it says about the bike. This 2003 model is limited edition and is number 53 of just 3,000 examples made. It was imported into the UK in 2003 and then purchased by the late vendor, which was an unusual addition to his collection of primarily British machines. It will have a full checkover and service before it can be registered for the road. So you will be, it's a wonderful opportunity to own such an iconic Italian machine, and it's sold without reserve. If you buy this, you will be the first ever owner. This has never seen the road apart from probably pushing it out of a dealership. I think if I bought that, I don't know if I'd want to register it either. I'd just leave it exactly as it is. Put it in my living room if I had a place big enough. And I'd probably just leave it there and look at it every time I walk past it. That is a lovely bike of the week. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Have a brilliant week, all. I'll see you in the next one.